This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The NCAA issuing guidelines for how to get back to competition. That includes some of the bullet points that Jim hit during his update there, Colin, include testing 72 hours before competition in what they call high contact risk sports. You've got everybody wearing masks on the sidelines if they're not on the field of play. The one that caught me, though, was the one bullet point he sandwiched in between those two, which is if you test positive, you're out of competition and in quarantine for 14 days. And here's the kicker to that caveat. Regardless of how many negative tests you may get during those 14 days or how asymptomatic you may be or any of it, you're out. 14 days. Doesn't matter. One positive test, you are out for 14 days. Huh. And that's going to be the biggest hurdle in my mind to getting some sort of college football on the field.
Well, they're just not going to play college football. I've never felt that way as strongly as – and I don't feel strong about it. I'm just starting to look at it like – because I'm confused. Jimmy Johnson tested positive, and then he was in a race car a week later, right? Like 9 days later. He missed one race, then he was back in. They're just – there seems to be – I guess what I'm getting at here, there's – I'm not understanding uniformity because I don't know if there is any.
Well, I think in the case of the NCAA trying to create some sort of uniformity with these guidelines, what they're doing is, and I'm with you, I've never felt less like there's going to be college football this fall than I do after reading these guidelines because, to your point, why can, in some instances, you've got a professional stock car driver who tests positive in this case. You mentioned Jimmy Johnson. But then 72 hours later, I believe it was, had a pair of negative tests spaced at least 24 hours apart, and they deemed him okay to go back to racing. Now, understanding, racing is a more distant sport, if you want to call it that. Guys are sitting in their own car, and football is two guys crashing into each other. But I don't think in this case that matters. If you're able to have two negative tests 24 hours apart,
still,
which we've been told,
there still doesn't allow a plus minus for a false positive here. It's
right.
Judge,
right.
Jury, and executioner tells you you're out for 2 weeks. And if this were to happen on a game day, if they were to do it Saturday, he'd be out two games.
Right.
So I'm not, look, it's just. What's going to happen is this. Even Power Fives, even Alabama, even LSU, even Clemson, everybody like that, it's going to end up, not monetarily, but I think that at some point they're going to have to ask themselves, is this going to be so restrictive that it just doesn't make sense? And those Power Fives, the Alabama, the Clemsons, they're one thing. But then, like we documented yesterday, what does this do for Purdue? What does this do for Vanderbilt? What does it do for teams that are kind of just hanging on those Power Fives at the bottom of those conferences that aren't slated
Colorado,
to have good years,
States
that don't
world,
get attendance anyway? Cal Berkeley, what does it do for them? And does it make sense for them to play football?
And I don't think, especially when you consider this 14-day quarantine period. And look, I have no problem with an overabundance of caution if that's what you want to do, if that's what the NCAA is mandating here. But to say 14 days out, no exceptions for a single positive test. I mean, we've seen how many positive tests have taken place as athletes have come back to play in baseball, in hockey, in basketball, and the door has been left open for all of those. And again, I understand we're talking about a delineation between professionals and student athletes. Fine. But there seems to be this giant cloud over how the tests work and what they're actually indicating. And the NCAA is essentially saying, well, if we're not quite sure, then we'll just say you don't compete for 14 days after testing positive because we don't want to roll the dice. We don't want to take that chance. And if that's going to be the case, it's just far too restrictive to actually have representative college football teams on the field this fall. And moreover, to continue to your point, when we talk about the, you know, the Vanderbilts of the world, the Purdues of the world, is it even financially viable for them when they're going to have to conduct these tests every week? And you got 90 guys on the roster, and sure, at places like Alabama and LSU and Clemson, maybe it's not a problem, but at other places, it's going to be a problem. It's just not going to be viable.
Yeah, and then what do you do? If a couple schools want to not play, do they take forfeits? Do they opt out? You're right. Is it viable for those? Like LSU, it doesn't matter if it costs $500,000 a week for testing or $1 million a week for testing. They're going to do it. They're going to want to play. It doesn't matter if they have to play Alabama three times, Auburn twice, and, you know, Florida and Georgia. They'll sign up for that schedule. But yes. The SEC then sort of falls apart. I don't know. Eventually, they're going to be faced, and we're getting there, I think, with a decision.
Yeah.
Is this not just cost prohibitive, but restrictive on our student athletes? And because here's the other part, too. The other sports aren't going for this.
Right, like, because they don't have the money to. They just don't. And again, while spring may not end up getting pulled off either, spring football, that is, at the very least, you have to ask yourself if you're the NCAA, if you're the Power Five conferences, if you're these college football programs, even the most powerful of them, do you want to muddle through a season like you just said? Oh, well, there may be a forfeit here, and, well, we'll have to reschedule this game, and maybe we play this team twice or three times. Who knows? Maybe we only play six or seven games. Or are you willing to look at it and say, listen, it's better to simply look ahead to the spring and hope we can get it done then? It's college football. I think we've rapidly approached the point, as optimistic as we were even just a few weeks ago, Colin, about college football, maybe even several days ago about college football, we've rapidly reached the point of realizing it's not going to happen this fall.
Well, here's why. Like Ed Orgeron from LSU, he says, we need to play. Football's the lifeblood of our country. This can be handled. I believe he believes that. And I believe he thinks that he can get it done. And I believe the people at LSU think they can get it done. And I think they look at the financial devastation. They look at a lost football season. They look at all that. But and people, again, people like LSU and Alabama and Clemson think they can get it done. But the NCAA is doing, they're kind of doing a lot like what the president's doing. They're going to hand down and say, you handle it at your level. Here's what the restrictions are. Here's what we think it's, what the protocols are. But you go ahead and hand them down. And there's X amount of tests that you need to happen. And this is what's going on. And you need to facilitate them at the state level, being the school level. And there's just going to be schools in those leagues that are, it's going to be cost prohibitive. They're not going to be able to do. And how many true schools are we going to be left with that want to do this? Well, now, what could happen is, but you better identify them soon. You could have 12, 15 schools right now and just like play a tournament.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, how many schools do you think are out there that really, because like we said, they've got the booster support, or they just have the wherewithal to try and do this, the Alabamas, LSUs, Clemsons, Ohio States of the world. How many schools are there that can do this, and would they want to go ahead with some odd semblance of a season in the fall and piecemeal it together, knowing that, hey, it could all fall apart at a moment's notice on a Friday afternoon less than 24 hours before kickoff? Or would they rather hold off, try and wait until spring when more schools can be a part of it, when it looks, even though it's not going to look like college football with a full 13, 14-week season and conference championships and bowl games and all that, would they rather wait for that?
I think there's LSU and Ohio State would fly into the middle of Afghanistan and play a football game in the desert right now. They don't care if it would be on TV and if it would make money.
Okay, but what if the possibility exists
I bet there's 30 schools. I can name 10 off the top of my head. LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Florida, Penn State. Penn State would play football tomorrow. They said they got zero tests at Penn State. They'd play football
zero
tomorrow.
Positives, yeah.
Zero positive tests. Wisconsin would play tomorrow. Notre Dame would play. Baylor. Baylor will play anything, anytime, anywhere to get on television. Their ass will play.
Here's my point. You take all those schools. Let's say there's 30 of them. Let's say there's 40 of them. If you're one of those 30, maybe even 40 schools, what is more appetizing to you? Is it to try and fight through this fall and get it done, even if it ends up being an 8-game season and teams are falling out along the way and there's a forfeiture here and there and we don't know? Or is it more appetizing to say, we don't want to try and fight through it that way, like you're fighting through a spider web in a haunted house or something? We'd rather try and wait for the spring when we might not have to fight through it as much. And yeah, it might look weird, but at least we'll have a better handle on it at that point.
No, I think that they want to grab when they can grab. I don't think they're worried about it getting started. They're worried about finishing.
And
And so that's why they want to start and just take their chances they could finish. I mean, the president of West Virginia University was like, we just got to do this. Wasn't long ago. We just have to do this. There's going to be positive tests, and we just push through. It can't stop what we're doing. So, to answer your question, I think that they'd rather just start and get going if they felt as if they could safely do it. But now, when there's hard protocols pushed in, that changes. But those hard protocols are going to be there in the spring, Chris.
Well, they may be, but you might be better able to handle them in the spring, or you might be able to dial them back a bit in the spring. And I understand exactly what you're saying. A lot of these schools are looking at it and saying, well, we're going to push through this fall and we're going to get it done however we have to get it done. Well, that might not end with a full 10-game season or however you – like, it may get to week 8 and there may only be enough schools left that you can't get it done anymore. And there might be enough that fall off the schedule and enough forfeitures and all this kind of stuff to where – you're just kind of left standing around looking at a barren college football landscape come late October or early November. And I don't know how many my point is, I don't know how many schools and conferences have thought about that. I understand wanting to get it off the ground. I don't know how many have pictured what the end could look like later this fall.
If you told Florida and Georgia that they were playing on the deck of the USNS Comfort and everybody there was being hospitalized for COVID, they'd say, are we kicking off at 12 or 12:30? I'm just being realistic about the SEC. They want to play, and they want to play now.
Then they're not going to be able to do it within the guidelines that the NCAA lined out, because – every time there's a positive test, if they've got to set a kid aside for 14 days, regardless of whether he's asymptomatic or comes back with a negative
test,
then let me ask you this.
Do you believe Penn State really had zero positive tests?
I have no reason to. If that's the data they're putting out, then I have no reason not to believe it until I'm told not to, until there's reason not to believe it.
I find it a little bit interesting. I actually find it a lot interesting because I lump Penn State into one of those schools that wants like hell to play.
State wants like hell to play too. Clemson wants like hell to play. LSU wants like hell to play, but they've all been forthcoming with their test results. So until I have reason to believe that Penn State has cooked the numbers, I'm not going to say I believe Penn State has cooked the numbers. I understand what you're saying. It's hard to believe that any program would have zero positive tests. But if that's what they're telling me, until I got reason not to believe it, I'll take them at their word.
Yeah, I think we're underestimating the want of people and especially the Southeastern Conference schools to play. I mean, they want to play, and they want to play now.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.